This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It's great to have you with us for the Monday edition of the Noon Business Hour as another trading week is underway. I'm Cisco Cotto. Chris Kreidel has the day off. Beautiful sunshine in Chicagoland, but more clouds as the day goes along. Some of us already seeing that cloud cover. It's 42 degrees right now as we head to a high near 50. Overnight, we'll have some rain north of the city. And the same for tomorrow, a high of 66, but lots of clouds and some rain in some of the northern suburbs. Right now, 42 at O'Hare, 43 at Midway, also 43 degrees along Chicago's lakefront. The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. Let's kick things off with an update of Wall Street. At Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, we are coming back from slightly deeper losses. The Dow is still in the red, down 47 points. NASDAQ lower by 25, or a third of a percent, and the S&P off 5 points. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index down 0.25%. Financial stocks are pulling Wall Street into the red. Not only did Goldman Sachs disappoint, but Citibank did nothing spectacular last quarter either. Goldman is responsible for about half of the losses on the Dow. The energy sector and industrials are also in the declining mode, with oil sliding about 1% to $63.36 a barrel. Boeing should fix its 737 MAX planes, add some, quote, great features, and rebrand the plane with a new name. That is the advice of President Trump today in a tweet. He wrote, quote, no product has suffered like this one. Boeing stock is down 0.75%. Back to you, Cisco.
Thanks so much, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, we're going to talk about bank stocks, several of them impressing. One of them, though, kind of mixed. Also, the future of malls, while new store offerings not really changing things at the malls. Tiger Woods' Masters win could be a significant win for several of his endorsers. Panera steps up the breakfast wars, and it is Stock Picker Monday. An Investing Pro will join us to give you some advice for your portfolio. All of that and loads more to come on today's Noon Business Hour.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Efforts by shopping mall operators to stem the tide of decline do not appear to be working. We'll cover that in our next segment. Right now, a report on manufacturing in the New York region is out, while the week ahead will include a slew of earnings reports plus data on housing and retail. We're joined by Brian Westbury, chief economist at First Trust Advisors in Wheaton. Brian, thanks for being with us. Always good to have you on the show. Let's talk about the Empire State Manufacturing Index right off the top. It's called Subdued. What do you make of what you're seeing here?
Yeah, well, it was actually up to 10.1. Expectations, the survey was 8. So it's not as high as it was in the middle of last year, but it's certainly not in recession territory, and that's good. You know, kind of like the weather here today. We had all that snow. Now we're going to have it all melted away, thank goodness, right? So I think the economy is actually in pretty good shape.
And talk about manufacturing in general, obviously problems in China. Do you see maybe a slowdown continuing, a turnaround? What do you expect?
Yeah, you know, this is really interesting, Cisco, because I think the United States cutting corporate tax rates, what that did is we are now much more competitive with the rest of the world. So where a company might have gone to Germany or to Canada or even to China because they had lower corporate tax rates than we did, that no longer exists. So I think the slowdown in Europe and the slowdown in China is actually partly because people are investing more in the United States. So I don't look at it as slowdown overseas means slowdown here. I think slowdown overseas means pick up here. The same is true, by the way, with tariffs. I won't talk long about it, but we're pushing other countries to bring down tariffs, and that's going to help exports over time from the U.S. And so that also hurts those overseas countries and economies as well. So what they lose in the end, we pick up. And that's one of the reasons why GDP forecasts for the first quarter have gone from almost zero about 5 weeks ago, and now they're over 2% real growth in the first quarter. So it looks like the U.S. economy is going to, well, I never thought we were going to have a recession, but some people did. But we're not going to have a recession this year.
So not always, maybe it's against conventional wisdom, not always bad for the U.S. economy if there are struggles in other overseas markets.
Yeah, I don't believe so. And I think one of the best examples of this, and it's not because of the same issues, but Japan back in the late 1980s was the second largest economy in the world. All these people, you know, they bought Pebble Beach, they bought Rockefeller Center. People were thought they were going to take over the world. And then they got into a bubble and people were saying, oh, no, when they crash, we're going to crash. And the 1990s was awful for Japan. And yet when you go back, Bill Clinton was president. It was a huge boom in the stock market and the economy grew very rapidly. So when a foreign economy slows, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's bad news for the United States.
Thanks so much for the insight, Brian Westbury, chief economist at First Trust Advisors in Wheaton. Coming up just after the bottom of the hour, Jack Ablin will be here to talk about earnings season and how it has started off. And we'll also have a look at foot traffic at America's malls. It continues to slide.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Malls have been working to bring in more so-called experiential tenants to try to restore the traffic volume they've seen in the past. Let's find out how it's working from Jan Rogers Niffen, CEO of J. Rogers Niffen Worldwide, based in New York. Jan, when we talk about experiential tenants, give us some examples. What are malls bringing in?
Well, they're doing a lot of things, but they're bringing in things like concert venues. They're bringing in lots of restaurants. They're bringing in laser tag. They're bringing in anything that you have to go there to do and cannot do online. They're putting in art galleries. They're putting in plays, all kinds of things to get somebody to actually physically show up and hope they'll buy something on the way out.
And that hope, is that what maybe isn't happening? That people are coming for the event, you know, to bowl or play video games or whatever, but they're not going through the mall and buying things?
Well, I think they are coming. The problem is they're not still coming at levels that they did the prior year. So even though they're putting in experiential things to do and people are coming to do them, that also includes, by the way, skydiving inside, people are coming, but they're not coming in droves because traffic is still down about 7% year over year in the enclosed malls. So, yes, we're getting it to work. People are coming to the restaurants. Most malls have twice as many restaurants as they did 10 years ago, but we're still not getting traffic at the level we need because so much of the business is being done, the new business is being done online, and so it's fading out of the mall. It's also true that the best malls are actually gaining traffic. That's at the expense frequently of the nearby less good malls. So the top 250 malls are growing actually every year in the number of people that visit. The bottom 800 or so are declining.
Yeah, talk about that gap a little bit and maybe what you think is behind it, because I know we have some malls here in Chicagoland that are just rocking. I mean, the parking lot's jammed all the time, and other malls often seem like ghost towns.
Well, what's happening is the best stores are going to the best malls and the best restaurants are going to the best malls, and they're feeding on each other. A good example, not too far from me actually, is the King of Prussia Mall in Philadelphia, and they added a $500 million, I think it was, addition to their mall, and a lot of 155,000 square feet of space, I believe it was, and a bunch of high-end restaurants. So if you're going to go to a mall near there, hey, you're going to go to that one. And I think that's what we're seeing. People are gravitating to the best malls. They'll drive an extra 3 or 4 miles past a mall that's not very much fun to get to a mall that really is fun and has all the best stores. That's just going to get worse. So I think those top 250 malls will continue to see rising rents. They'll continue to see rising traffic. The best stores will want to go into the best malls. They'll get out of some of the other malls, and there'll be this consolidation in the business. That's no surprise, really. I've been talking about this since 2014. We knew this was going to happen, but now it's accelerating because right now we've seen more store closures in 2019 than we saw in all of 2018.
So what is the future then for some of those malls that are not as good, that are seeing less traffic, stores closing, and I mean, what's their future?
Well, they're all trying to figure that out. Some will, of course, become community centers. Some will move into residential doctor's offices, you know, mixed-use properties. Some may actually get bulldozed. Three that I know of have turned into Amazon distribution centers. So we shouldn't be too surprised to see them trying to find other ways to exist. But, you know, most of those are going through receivership first to get enough debt off of the books to make the things be successful. So there's going to be a lot of damage done. But most of those malls will be something else. They won't just be bulldozed into green fields.
Now, let's talk about residential, because you mentioned that. Does it make sense for some of these malls to bring in residential so that there are potential customers living right there for some of the stores and restaurants and the other tenants who actually want traffic?
Well, that's where the world's going. If you look at Hudson Yards that just opened here in New York, yes, there's a bunch of stores that went in. There's a Neiman Marcus as well. But they've built residential towers all around it. So all those restaurants they've put in have something to feed off of. And as long as you can get the traffic to go through, and if you've got people living nearby, your odds of getting more traffic are higher. So, yeah, everybody is looking at mixed-use properties so that you can have a ready-made base at least to work off of. And then if you can bring in some people from the outside surrounding community, you can make it all work.
Jan Rogers Niffin, thanks for being with us. Jan is CEO of J. Rogers Niffin Worldwide. Still ahead, we'll have an update on the markets from Bloomberg. And later, Panera has a new strategy to attract breakfast customers. Our Monday stock picker still to come as well. WBBM News Time 12:25, a check of the markets from Bloomberg, powered by ComEd's Energy Efficiency Program. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, after a Friday rally propelled in part by JPMorgan Chase's earnings report, these Monday losses are driven by investors' disappointment in earnings from Goldman Sachs and Citigroup. Although Goldman earned more than expected, its sales were down. Citigroup also struggling with trading revenue. Goldman is the Dow's biggest loser, and the blue chips are lower by 42 points. NASDAQ is down 26, or a third of a percent. S&P falling by 5. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg down a quarter percent. Waste Management is acquiring Advanced Disposal Services for close to $3 billion. That is a 22% premium to Advanced Disposal's closing price on Friday. Crude oil futures down about 1% today to $63.36 a barrel. Now let's check in on the grains. For that, we turn to Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal. Kurt?
Well, good afternoon, Lisa. Grain markets remain higher as we go through the noon hour. The supporting features are a wet forecast going into April and 140,000-ton bean sale to unknown destination. This morning's weekly export inspections report came in with expectations. This afternoon's corn planting progress reports expected show corn plantings 5 to 6% complete as a nation, which is average. Corn futures up 1 to 2 cents, beans 5 to 6 cents higher, and the wheat market 5 to 6 cents lower. This is Kurt Kimmel, Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Kurt. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto. Chris Kreidel has the day off. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Markets are lower. We'll see what's weighing on Wall Street. Stock Picker Monday. We'll get a couple of suggestions from an investing pro. The Tiger Woods victory at the Masters is much more than just a win for him. Panera Bread trying to compete with McDonald's, Dunkin', and Taco Bell with its new breakfast wraps. Crews are battling a fire. This is breaking news. This fire is at the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. A significant blaze burning at Notre Dame. On Wall Street, the Dow down 29. NASDAQ is down 24. And the S&P down 3 points. Oil down a little less than 1%. Sunshine in much of Chicagoland, but more clouds on the way as the day goes along. We're heading to a high of 50 degrees. Right now, 42 O'Hare, 43 Midway, also 43 along Chicago's lakefront. The new Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. The already solid Tiger Woods brand has been given a huge shot in the arm thanks to his widely watched Masters victory yesterday. Golf and television are also big winners. We're joined to talk about it by Danny Ecker, reporter at Crain's Chicago Business. Danny, it seems like golf, at least for the masses, it had kind of waned a little bit, and yet yesterday you had all these people gathered around televisions, radios. They were streaming the video trying to see if Tiger could pull this out.
Yeah, and this is what is long known as the Tiger effect in golf, and whether he's in competition and contention at a major over the years, over the past 20 years, has been a key factor in the ratings for golf for some of these tournaments. So, you know, this was a turn back the clock moment for a lot of golf fans, and for the PGA Tour, this could not have gone much better, I suppose. They've been waiting for something like this, and obviously there's a lot of good young stars, you know, far more young stars today in golf than there were sort of a Tiger when he was at his peak, but, you know, nothing draws a crowd like Tiger Woods, and that's what they benefited from yesterday. And now the question is he back and going to be consistent? And if he is, golf's in pretty good shape.
And beyond golf, you have all these sponsors who are really tied into the Tiger Woods brand. Does this give them a little shot in the arm?
Well, absolutely. And if you think about, there's a lot of different big sponsors that Tiger lost a decade ago when he was sort of going through all these personal issues off the course that still linger today. I mean, those are part of his profile, and I think when his reputation, as people look at him from inside or outside golf. But for those that stuck with him and those that have kind of bought back into Tiger Woods in recent years, this is a huge payoff. Nike comes to mind as one that it stuck with him and throughout, and he's the exposure they got from this, I think within minutes of him winning, they had a video on social media talking about, this is the what he's accomplished in his career, and this is something that has been a big deal for Tiger and for Nike. So it's the kind of thing that is going to pay dividends for a lot of people tied to Tiger Woods, including his endorsers, including golf, and for Tiger himself.
Very exciting stuff, I know, for a lot of people. Thanks, Danny. Appreciate the insight. Danny Ecker is a reporter at Crain's Chicago Business. The markets are down just a tick today. Let's find out what's going on. Also, some banks reporting earnings. Jack Ablin is joining us now, Chief Investment Officer at Crescent Capital here in Chicago. For starters, Jack, what do you make of what you're seeing on Wall Street today?
Yeah, certainly not too exciting, not compared to the Masters yesterday. Did see the remarkable recovery of a 41-year-old who had, I think, two neck surgeries and two back surgeries and was ranked 1,000th on the list not too many years ago. So that was huge. Today we had we thought we could get a little replay of some of the financials coming through, but Goldman Sachs, somewhat disappointed. We didn't get another J.P. Morgan effect. And oil is off just slightly, but really, we're just down fractionally today.
When it comes to the bank stocks, to the companies behind the stocks, are we seeing that maybe you're having some real winners and losers in that sector? Just some are able to outperform?
Yeah, I think that's really what is pretty interesting, actually. J.P. Morgan certainly came through with flying colors. Wells Fargo, which reported on the same day last Friday, real disappointment, just not able to generate a lot of revenue. Obviously, they've got their reputation they're still working on and looking for a new CEO. So we'll probably have to, put them aside for a while. But even a Goldman Sachs, which is, blamed the government shutdown because of the lack of IPOs and the SEC able to approve things, kind of disappointed this quarter. So, yeah, I think, with the higher rates, and at least in the front end over the last year, that's pushed on bank earnings. But bank revenues are still reasonable, up expected to be up about 3.9% year over year. So that's pretty respectable.
What about Citigroup? Do you see sort of mixed results there?
Yeah. So the Citigroup results were mixed. I would have expected, because of the consumer exposure, would have done a little bit better. But let me see. Yeah, so that was also, somewhat disappointing, too. Don't have the exact, let me see if I have anything here. Now, I don't have any of the specific details on Citi, but it looked like that disappointed and that slumping as well.
Let's talk about other sectors here as we're just at the beginning of earnings season. Do you expect any significant movement in any particular sectors? I'm thinking one that's really going to knock it out of the park or one that may really disappoint.
Well, relative to expectations, keep in mind, technology, for example, has been on fire, and yet analysts are expecting an 8.7% decline in profits year over year through the first quarter. In fact, they don't expect positive comparisons until the fourth quarter of this year. So this will be a real challenge, I believe, this year for technology, as their fundamentals appear to be deteriorating and their stock prices are going up.
Let's talk about advice to investors in an environment in which we're not necessarily being driven by the news of the day as we have been over the last few years. Maybe more people actually thinking about fundamentals.
Yeah, and I think where we've got fundamentals, especially the economy and the economic recovery, I would say we're still on very solid footing. In fact, last year at 4.2% and then 3.5% growth in the economy was really an aberration. It was just kind of spurred by the tax incentives. But if you strip all of that away, the nice thing I can say about a 2 to 2.5% economic expansion is we're growing right within our potential. What that really means, Cisco, is we could just continue, keep our head down, continue to grow 2 to 2.5% and not really push any major excesses, meaning that, picking up on what Jamie Dimon alluded to last Friday, said this expansion can go on for a while. So that's really what I'm looking at. And, it may not be what I'll call a running shoe recovery, picking up on that Nike comment, more like a hiking boot type recovery. But that's not so bad either.
Thanks so much, Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer at Crescent Capital here in Chicago. Up next, another salvo being launched in the Breakfast Wars.
News that makes you money. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Panera Bread looking to up its share in the quick breakfast market. Let's learn more about the strategy from Phil Lempert, founder of Supermarket Guru, based in Los Angeles. Phil, bring us up to date here. What is Panera trying to do?
Well, Cisco, keep in mind that Panera has been having a good catering business as it relates to breakfast. In fact, about 30% of its breakfast business, 30% of its catering business is breakfast now. So what we're seeing them really follow McDonald's suit and wanting to get some of those customers that might be a little bored with McDonald's sandwiches. And what they're doing is they're upping the quality of their coffee. Keep in mind that they're now owned by JAB Holding. That includes Peach Coffee, Caribou Coffee, Espresso House, Stumptown Coffee, a lot of coffee brands. So they're going to increase the quality of their coffee. They're not going to have breakfast sandwiches, but breakfast wraps, if you would, and really go for a very high-quality breakfast offering.
So it's not that obviously Panera has breakfast now. Is the change here they want more of the people who are on the go instead of the people who want to sit there and maybe chat with friends over breakfast?
You're exactly right. What they want to do is they want to get those quick in-and-out people, which is very profitable. Keep in mind that McDonald's, breakfast is their most profitable day part, most profitable products, and 25% of McDonald's business is breakfast. So it's more profitable. You have less service to worry about, and you're going to get more customers.
And so you mentioned the brands that they have as far as coffee goes. Is that something that maybe will set them apart, where they can start pushing that in addition to the new breakfast wraps?
Well, the rumor right now is,
And what they've said is it will be Panera brand coffee. Even though they have all these other brands, you're not going to see these brands at Panera. It's just going to be increasing the quality of their coffee, also adding cold brew coffee that they don't have now. They're going to be grinding the beans in the restaurant, so you're going to have that great aroma when you walk in that restaurant as well.
Notice that several Paneras now have drive-thrus. I'm wondering if that may be a continued part of their strategy if they want those people who want something quick for breakfast.
Yes, absolutely. Drive-thru is a significant part of fast food. A lot of people like it. Panera has been starting to add those, and I think we'll probably get to the point where we're going to see, you know, drive-thrus in every Panera. Also, let's not forget that people like Chick-fil-A have been building restaurants that are only drive-thru, that you can't even sit in them. So I think that's going to be another trend that we're going to see. Whether or not Panera is going to go that direction, who knows?
Yeah, people certainly want it on the go, that's for sure. Thanks. Phil Lempert, founder of SupermarketGuru.com, based in Los Angeles. This time tomorrow, Travel Tuesday. Still to come, our Monday Stock Picker.
This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Stock Picker Monday here on the Noon Business Hour. Helping us out this afternoon, Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services, also publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast newsletter. Chuck, thanks for being with us. What's your first pick?
The first pick is SS&C Technologies. The symbol is SS&C, trades for $65 a share. The company makes a variety of software products. It provides kind of the plumbing, so to speak, for a lot of financial institutions, such as hedge funds, brokerage firms, mutual funds. They do software that handles, for example, back office functions and trading. The thing that's nice about this company is it's really because of the contracts and because of the difficulty of kind of changing systems, they have a very good retention rate with their clients, and about 90% plus of their company's revenues are basically recurring revenue streams. So it's a nice, steady business. The stock has been performing well, but we continue to like it, and our clients own it. That's SS&C Technologies. SS&C is the symbol.
Okay, that's the first pick. What's your second pick?
Second pick, a little controversial. It's United Health Group. UNH is the symbol. The stock trades for about $226 per share. It's down about 21% from its 52-week high, and it's down because there's been a lot of kind of negative news for healthcare stocks in general, and including healthcare insurers in terms of, you know, what might happen down the road if we get, you know, Medicare for All. Proposals have been floating around, rising drug costs, controlling those drug costs, regulations on them, et cetera. So a lot of the healthcare group, including United Healthcare, has really sold off pretty sharply. But this is a high-quality blue-chip company, yields about 1.5%. And sometimes, you know, to get into these types of stocks at favorable prices, you have to buy them when there's negative news surrounding them. And I think this is one of those times. Now, the company does report its earnings tomorrow. So if, you know, the faint of heart want to kind of see what those earnings look like, I think they'll be good enough to provide support to the stock. And again, at a 20% discount to its 52-week high, I think the stock's a good buy.
Okay, thanks, Chuck Carlson. The two picks, SS&C Technologies, ticker symbol SSNC, and United Health Group, ticker symbol UNH. Thanks for being with us. Bloomberg checks the markets next. WBBM News Time, 12:55, a check of the markets sponsored by Baird. At Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
Well, Cisco, an improving picture here. The Dow is down just 21 points now, or less than a tenth of a percent, and the NASDAQ off 22. That's a 0.25% slide. The S&P giving back just 3 points now. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is down a tenth of a percent. Goldman Sachs is in retreat, down about 3%. That's weighing on the market after the company posted less sales and trading revenue than expected for the quarter. And crude oil futures are lower, down about 1% to $63.39. That has the energy sector and some industrials also retreating. We don't have many gainers, and that's where we sit, just south of the flat line here. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.